Hi, I'm Kia. This is Hot Topics Live, and I have your reminder that you are an amazing human being, that you deserve to be living your best possible life. And we're going to tell you some ways you can do that. We're all on this journey together, so we might as well help each other. I am joined by my girl, Matilda, from Coffee with Matilda and Podcasters Unleashed. Hey, Matilda.
Hello, Kia and listeners. How are you?
I'm really good, actually. How are you?
Very good. Fantastic. Joining you from LA, sunny LA.
Oh, you know how I love LA. It feels like I was just there. I was. I was just there, and I got the pleasure of meeting darling Sasha and
Yes.
you for a lovely dinner at the Little Door in West Hollywood, which is a smashing
It
place. Yeah, it was lovely. We had a
was
good time.
very
And I get to hang out with Sasha, who I found out we have a lot in common with like the way
lovely.
we think. And so that was really, really cool, actually.
True. It was very awesome to meet you. And Sasha really enjoyed it. Sasha
Aww.
really enjoyed the dinner. You and he loves the place, the restaurant. So it was a lovely night for us.
Aw, I'm so excited. Well, we'll have to do it again since I just found out
Yes.
you're going to be in LA a little longer, and I might come down. I surely will come down at some point
Definitely.
before August, maybe June. We'll see.
Very nice. We're looking forward to see you.
Yay, we try somewhere else really good. I'm thinking that Gucci has this place, and it looks pretty interesting and lovely. And I love when I go on trips to just spoil myself as much as possible because I feel like you need that. You need something to look forward to. You need to give to yourself and fill up your cup in different ways. And mine is traveling and spoiling myself while I travel. What's yours, Matilda? What do you do for yourself?
When I'm traveling,
Or what do you give yourself to look forward to and pour into yourself? Is it traveling?
I love traveling. Also, I love finding nice places to eat. So that's how I don't lose weight. But for me, it's an important element to find a nice place for coffee, nice pastry, and dinner, nice dinners. As Sasha loves champagne, so we love to go
Me too.
places to have champagne and nice dinner together. That's why when you find us, we're always in out and about eating and gaining weight. But no, we're on a diet now.
Well,
A nice champagne
you
doesn't
can
hurt.
enjoy. You just have to make sure you exercise a little bit more to do that. In fact, I put on a few pounds and I started stepped up my workouts a little bit more because I don't intend to slow down in my indulgent behavior anytime soon. I don't think so. I had to just step up my workouts and like really go hard so that I can, stay healthy, but also enjoy life. It's a balance,
Very
right?
nice. If I don't have money to buy new clothes, new shoes, and stuff, okay, I'm not gonna be happy, but it's not gonna bother me that much. But if
Right.
I don't have money to go to a restaurant, to a cafe, to have it will really make me wake up and to do something about it. So I always have money for restaurants. Doesn't matter when I was a student, when I didn't have any money. I always had money for my coffee, my pastry, or to go to a nice lounge to have a dinner or a nice cocktail or champagne.
I love it. I
It
love all
shows
those things.
priorities. It shows what are my priorities in life.
Yes, I do like nice clothes and I love to shop, but it all goes together for me. Like I like all of that stuff so I can look nice at the restaurant.
Yeah.
Out drinking champagne at. I mean, I like beer, but I have gluten sensitive. So, wines and champagne are more my favorite. I do like to sparkle, so something sparkling makes me really happy. And that's what this is all about, finding things that make you happy. These things make us
Exactly.
happy. And if you like, drop us a comment about what makes you happy whenever you see this. So we have a guest today.
Yes.
I'm really excited to bring her on because I just adore her. She is a friend of mine and she is an art therapist, but so much more. Now, I don't know how you feel about this whole movement of light workers and spirituality and soul purpose and all of these things. I like them. I like them. And I do think that we all have a purpose here and that we should be helping each other to just have a better life experience where we can, right? This is why we do this podcast. So today, my friend Teresa is here and she's such an interesting person. And she's an artist and she does Reiki and she helps so many people. And she's also a single mom of two, just like me. And so we got to stick together. So I'm going to bring her out here so she can share with you all the amazing things that she does. And we're going to just talk about everything because she did something for me personally, actually. And she reminded me of what a beautiful sexual being that I am, right? And how we should delight in that and how we should not sort of stigmatize our sexuality and put it in a box. So we're going to get into all sorts of juicy things today, ladies and gentlemen. So get ready. Should I bring her on, Matilda?
I feel like I'm wearing a lot today. I need to make it sexy. Bigger on. She's very sensual.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Hello, beautiful. Welcome to Live. So tell me before we start, where are you and what time is it where you are? It's a global show.
I am from Quincy, Illinois, and it is 3:54 right now. So I'm central time.
Matilda, you're in LA. We know we're both on the West Coast. I'm just north of Portland, Oregon. It's 1:54 where we are. Mm-hmm. And I ask this because it's a global show and we have guests from all over the world. But today we happen to all be in the United States.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have a question for you, Teresa. I know an amazing artist. I've seen your art. I wonder, how did you get involved in art therapy?
I'm actually a therapeutic art coach. I'm not an art therapist because that's a different type of schooling. So I just got certified within that. I got into that when I've always been involved with art ever since I fell in love with art when I was a child, you know, and then, 2018 decided to make a career move and, really get into it full time. And it took going through some pretty big life changes to get me into the therapeutic aspect of art. Art's always been a therapeutic go-to for me, whether it be sketching or painting or, you know, doodling even, you know, it's always been there. But to get down a little bit deeper into ways that the healing aspect of it, it took some pretty big life changes.
Wow, I definitely understand that because I started painting, I think it was 2010. I did art through school and all of that. But I actually really started to get paints out and canvases and all of that after a really traumatic event happened with my mom. She got diagnosed with a mental health issue, and the experience of realizing that the diagnosis was well-founded and everything that had to do with that and how sick she really was super traumatic for me. So absolutely. I needed something. I was already in therapy. Okay. Yes. If you watch Hot Topics Live, you know that I'm a survivor of child abuse. So I was already in therapy. And this next evolution in my relationship with my mother that was super traumatic set me looking for something more. And that is when I was like, I'm going to start painting because I need something. And I didn't even realize it as art therapy You know what I mean? Yep. I just was like, I need to do something. I'm going to start painting. I've always loved Jackson Pollock. I want to throw paint. I want to make a mess. I want to create something like he did. And I'm going to do his style. And that's what I love. And I started. And it really helped me. I had a three-year-old at the time. And he would paint with me. And we really had a lot of fun. And it helped me so much. And 6 months later, I was feeling so much better that I know I believe in it. So what are some of the reasons why people would come to an art therapy coach?
Okay, well, I'll tell a story to try to give you an example of how I started really diving deep in what I was going through. I was started with their spiritual awakenings. I was filed for divorce, and I found some lumps in my breast and during a self-check. And that was all at the same time. And I was just feeling so many things at the same time. And so I took a canvas and I just started writing down hard all these feelings and all these words that were coming to my head at the time. And then decided to paint over everything. I was like, I'm going to take all of this stress, all of this pain, all of this hurt, and I'm going to paint over those words and almost make them disappear, turn them into something beautiful, transmute that energy to that negative, fearful energy into something wonderful. What ended up happening is I took that. I'm a resin artist. I'm an epoxy resin artist, an abstract artist. That's my main category of art. And I ended up donating that piece for breast cancer awareness, and it was auctioned off. And so I did a pink. I ended up doing it all pink. And I named it after my mammographer, who was absolutely wonderful to me and really just eased me at that time. Especially, I was just laying there in the machine just crying. And she's like, does that hurt? I'm like, no, I'm just upset. You know, it's just one of those when you're going through so much at the same time. And so the way that she was there for me, I ended up naming it after her, and they auctioned off, and it went to the breast center here in Quincy, Illinois. So,
wow, that's amazing. That was, I'm just thinking about that mammogram, and if you've ever had one, it's like, I know I have a lot of guys watching, so it's probably hard for you to even understand. So let's just say they take your balls and put them between two plates, and these two plates are in a vise. And they're cranking the vise down and smashing it as flat as you can. That's what a mammogram is for your wife or girlfriend, for her to have it. So it is uncomfortable. It doesn't hurt, kill you, but it's painful.
It's painful.
So I can just imagine having a wonderful mammographer there is very, very necessary.
Yes. So it got me and the divorce, just a lot of art journaling. My therapist and I were trying to figure out ways for me, what was good for ways for me to heal at home and me to continue my healing at home. And knowing that I was an artist, you know, we got into some ways to journal. And then I had an art coach for a long, or art business coach for a long time. And she had a podcast episode with a woman named Madeline, who was an art therapy or a therapeutic art coach. And I got a hold of her. I was like, how did you get into this? And then she sent me info and I got certified in that. So it gave me so many more healing modalities through art and ideas of how to, and even working with children and working with my children, you know, and helping them through the divorce process and to do something fun with it and be able to look at their art and analyze kind of what they're going through and expressing their feelings. So that was important to me, and it absolutely helped my children through it too. So
that's amazing. That's amazing. What are some of the key benefits of having a art therapy coach?
I believe, you know, it's such a different type. It's newer. First off, it's newer. It's fun. I like to call it fun work instead of homework. I give a lot. There's a lot of journaling in art therapy. You wouldn't believe, but the relaxation, it's a stress relief. That's huge. It doesn't have to go into art therapy for trauma or big things. It can be just for stress relief, depression, different ways to get to know yourself better through these art and give you different techniques to cope with just life in general. But it's fun. It's fun. Who doesn't like to paint and color and get into something different?
Mm-hmm. I agree. You had me at journaling. Sasha, hello, Sasha. I've read your comment. Thank you for adding to the conversation, Sasha. Yes, I think that's why they don't have balls. Balls Griffey. but yeah, honestly, you did really have me at journaling. So when you have an art therapy journal, do you like paint or how does that work?
Oh, I have it. I have different colored pens. I'm pretty bougie about it. Like I have like a big thing of all colored pens, and I do watercolor pens too. Like, so I'll do watercolor pencils, and then, but I have to get, you can get special paper for that, and special journals that are able to, multimedia journals, and be able to draw through there. And I just like that. I like to journal through that.
So basically you draw and do art, and do you also write? Because I'm
good on
just writing out my feelings and things like that in my journals. I've
absolutely.
So that's kind of what an art therapy journal is.
Yes. And when you actually write instead of type, it releases feelings and stuff from your subconscious, brings them to your conscious and onto paper to release that. Mm-hmm. Typing doesn't do the same thing. It doesn't stimulate the same parts of your brain to release those feelings and those thoughts and those, what you're trying to do. So when I'm talking to somebody, they're like, oh, I can just jot notes down in my phone. I was like, get that pen to paper, because it stimulates a different part. It helps you release differently.
That's amazing. What do you think, Matilda?
Actually, journaling is very fascinating, because now that I'm thinking about it, I start journaling since age of, I think, 10, third grade. I don't know. Yeah, that's 10 or 9. And I have it since now.
Yeah.
So I can go back. And I've gone back a couple of years ago when I was going to therapy to look back when what I was feeling at the age of 10, at the age of 12, at the age of 13. And it's interesting, because sometimes you think that it's a big or huge problem, but when you write it down, you realize, I'm maybe emotional about it.
Yeah.
And think about it logically and resolve it. And sometimes you realize, no, maybe whatever you were going through, you need help. You need to go to therapy, or you need to ask people to help you in a situation. I think it makes you realize, as a third person, you start looking at the problem instead of just the first person that you're going through it. It really helps, even good moments too, and makes you be sharp about even what you have as a blessing, because sometimes maybe you don't realize it at that moment, but when you come back and you read it, you're like, wow, I was going through that, and I was healthy, and I was not realizing the wealth that I had at that moment. And I was fussing about what a friend said something, or even my husband did something. I was in general, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love being able to look back in my journal from when I started journaling, and it was probably the year before my divorce, but then really got heavy into it in my divorce and during that time. And You can recognize a lot of your own healing. I'll recognize a lot of your own bullshit that you have been, that you don't want to, that you realize, oh man, I was really in a not good place, or my mindset was terrible back then, or hey, look how far I've come. That is probably one of the biggest things, especially learning and getting into spirituality and realize how far you've come. So being able to look back and be like, even me from January, I looked back at my journal and my art, and I was going through some of the darkest, shittiest parts, just a season. It was a long winter. But looking back at the journaling and how far I've come now in just that short amount of time, it gives you something to be proud of yourself about and love yourself and be like, I did that. I got through that. Look at that. You know, it's really beautiful if you think about it. But having it right in front of your face and seeing those words and seeing you, how far you've come, it's beautiful.
And I think one of the things that add up, I can add it up, what you're saying is it really helps you to connect with who you are, who you really are. And I think it's a very good point of self-love.
Yes.
So I love journaling because
absolutely
it's part of my self-love.
It's yes. Part of
who I am. Mm-hmm.
I love hearing that.
I love that. And I want to talk about spirituality, which is perfect because Sasha, my darling, our darling Sasha, has a question for you. You are interested in spirituality, which kind? Theosophy.
I've actually never heard of theosophy.
Oh, well, let's talk about what you're into, honey.
Okay. I would like to, I'm more of, now the word just, I don't know why it just slipped my head. Okay. So I follow a lot of different things. I feel like us as a collective, we're all one. That's big for me. Of course, I have just learning it different. I wouldn't say, I was born and raised very religious and in the church, and I believe in God and Jesus, but it's one of those things when you go through an awakening, you come to realize there's a lot of truth in multiple things. So it's an exploring part of that. But of course, Reiki is, I accept all, you know.
I feel that. Yeah, I think there is a big movement of humanity right now that is moving away from traditional religion. Obviously, there are a lot of people who still hold to those truths because it's true for them.
Yes.
But a lot of people are navigating towards understanding more about all religions and maybe even stepping out of the religion box and just saying, you know what? I believe in being kind to people, being good to people. I believe in, you know, healing pain, my pain and suffering that I've experienced in my life, and being the best that I can be and helping others to do the same. I think there's a big movement towards finding inner peace and self-love and doing all of these things. That's kind of what spirituality is for me. Not necessarily looking at it from a theological standpoint, but more so feeling what feels right to me. And so my religious history is super complicated. I mean, I was born into a Muslim religion. My parents split up, then I was Catholic. Then I decided not to confirm because I had questions about why I could not just talk to God myself and no one wanted to answer them. So at 9, I did not confirm and I left the Catholic faith. Then I became very, very religious as in Christian, like non-denominational Christian. I also really love the Lutheran Church. And my last bit of religion that I was interested in was Baha'i. And I love that religion. And I will tell you something, if I was going to be religious, it would be Baha'i. And if you don't know that religion, you should actually look into it because it's actually quite beautiful. There's plenty of Baha'i temples all around the world and they have gorgeous architecture. So if at minimum, you should see that. But I quite liked their idea of marriage, which was very simple. Now I've been married twice. If you're a regular listener, viewer of this podcast, live stream, then you know that I've been married twice. And I feel that marriage is an agreement between two people. You do not need a piece of paper for that. You just need the agreement and the choice every day that you wake up that you're going to continue that day together. Mm-hmm. Right? It's an agreement that you make every day, basically. And I actually quite like a pagan ritual where on your anniversary, you actually remarry each other. Like you recommit yourself every year. You check in. Do we still want to be together?
I love that.
And then you recommit yourselves every single year on your anniversary. So you have like a little mini remarrying or, you know, vow renewal. And so I really like that. So for me, I think spirituality is personal. It is understanding that there is the higher source of energy. We came from somewhere, you know, what that is. You know, I'm an alien conspiracy theorist. personally, but to each their own. Okay. But we all came from somewhere. Obviously there's a higher source and we are all very powerful beings. So I believe that if you want to believe in a God, believe you are God. That's my theory. Just my humble opinion, but that's where I stand with spirituality. How about you, Matilda?
Actually, kind of like you. I mean, I'm born in a Christian house, but we're not very religious. We like Easter food and Christmas food and celebration of New Year, Christmas. I mean, any celebration is fun. Because it's a opportunity to have champagne. But I don't believe in religion. I don't think I believe in. I feel like it's a reason to control humans. But I believe it's a necessity for humanity as well. Religion is a necessity. But I love the idea that I'm part of this universe and I'm protected by the universe. And actually, I feel like the universe really loves me. And whatever I go through, bad or good, is part of me to learn an aspect or an element of my character. And I believe life is happening for me, not to me.
Not to you.
And I just loving life and I feel my spirit chose to be here now. My spirit chose my parents, good or bad. Maybe I had to learn something from them.
Absolutely.
And it will be necessity for me for my later on, whatever my purpose is. I'm still trying to find my purpose. So I'm in a journey of searching journey. But I'm happy. I'm happy that I'm alive because I know something I have to give. What that is, I don't know. But the fact that I married Sasha, maybe there's a lesson. There is a lesson to anything or anyone that I meet, actually. I feel like there's a purpose to it. I have to learn something from them. And I'm looking life from those kind of lenses.
I love that. The word I was looking for was almanistic, which is you don't find truth in just one religion. You find truth in them all. I loved being raised in a Christian church with my mom and my dad took us to two different churches. And I love that upbringing. It's just, after I had my awakening, I just I'm learning my own through that, but I felt like it has brought me faith and closer to God source energy, you know, and being a conduit for that Reiki healing energy was, I just feel like it's brought me closer to God and my soul purpose. So, and helping others.
That's so amazing. I'm going to throw this because Sasha is the unofficial co-host.
I love it. I love it. I see that he always chimes in and I love that.
So I'm going to put this up here for everyone because it's important. And yes. I love that. I love you. I love that.
Thank you, Sasha.
Yeah, for clearing that clarifying that for everyone. We love him. He's great. So I'm going to leave it up there for another minute for everybody.
I have a question. Yeah, sorry.
Yes, of course.
I want to ask you, how do you, I mean, you help people to understand their purpose through your...
I hold space.
So what are the ways? Because I'm sure lots of people like me, they're trying to do anything possible to find what is the purpose.
I wouldn't say I'm here to help others find their purpose. I'm here to hold space while they explore that and to clear any blockages that they might have in their chakra system or that they're holding in their energetic body to realize where what's holding them back. I worked on a woman this past week who was having some, even just some work issues, and being able to speak her truth and feel steady about it, and realizing that she had some sacral and root chakra to where she just wasn't grounded to feel safe enough to speak her truth, to get her to a different level, to be, you know, it's clearing out those blockages, cutting some cords. It's like something just instantly was relieved in her, like being able to see her face just go, and then like tears flowing from her. That's the type of thing I do. I help get in your shadows with you basically and work with you.
And you
what's going on in your inner. Yes, correct. I cleared her energy, cleaned her aura up, and helped clear some blockages for her, and then held space to help her move through some things. And she was having trouble receiving. Us as women, she's basically single parenting right now, and she's doing a damn good job at it. And it's like she was taking on some mom and dad roles, and it was a lot for her. So she had a big masculine shield up, and I'm like, listen, lower your shield, lower your shield. Let others help you. You know that I'm. So she had a block in her receptivity, but the only reason I knew could see that and feel that besides being, getting messages about it was clearing her energy and seeing where she was blocked at. But us as single moms, we know it's kind of hard sometimes to let others help us when we're used to, you know, I got it. You know, but having that feminine receptivity and giving her some advice of what helps me get into mine. I have to dance almost every day. That's something that really brings me into my feminine. That really sitting down after while I'm meditating and doing hip rolls, and you know, it really helps that receiving. It helps that energy go down and back up and brings me into that receiving. Hey, I am a grounded feminine. I can ask for things or ask for help or move through that. So,
mm-hmm. Ooh, that's good. So just to back up just a little bit, if someone doesn't know what Reiki is, what is it?
It is energy healing. So, it can help you with different medical pain relief, energetic blockages that you may have, mental health. It's clearing your it's chakra work. So we have seven chakras. We have more than that, but I work with the seven chakras, and it's aligning your chakra system, your energy system. We are all made of energy. And if you have blockages in different places, it can affect you physically, mentally, emotionally. And so clearing that, getting that aligned, and I do some, after I clear your aura and do some cord cutting, then I can give you some advice of what downloads I get during that process.
Amazing.
You know, I love going to, in New York, I loved going to seeing specialist for my energy, clearing my energy. Whenever I felt like things are not happening smoothly in my life and I have to work very hard for it to happen, I realized one of my chakras are not performing well or they're not aligned with the universe. And I would go and see, and I suggest whoever is listening, maybe they're not familiar with the Reiki work, if they're realizing maybe the universe is not giving what you're asking and it's not, things are not working very well, there's no smoothness in your day-to-day process, then maybe it's time for you to see specialists like her, because then you need to clear some energies. Some energies are blocking you to take the fruits of the universe.
You don't realize how much we absorb too. We absorb so many other energies that don't belong in our body. And some of the, we need to be able to release those in a healthy way too, you know, and after receiving Reiki for 2 years, I was like, okay, I know that this is where I gotta, this is where I'm called. This is where I've seen the amazing benefits with me personally, and especially emotionally. That was my biggest healing modality. So I knew that that's where I was called. That's where I was going to do.
I'm going to ask a zillion questions. I have Teresa, do you have online, like, can you connect with someone online or you need to see them?
That was my question.
Yes. No, I actually, I've done most of, since receiving my degree to attunement, to practitioner level, I have seen most distance Reiki. So time and space, it doesn't matter distance, because energy is energy. I can tap in wherever, which is fantastic. And especially, you know, that was big with COVID too. Like, people are like, we want to get healing. And I was able to tap in. My Reiki master is from Washington. So she has worked on me for 2.5 years now. And she is who I got certified through and had my attunement through. And it was, I wouldn't know what to do without Violet. And it was all distance. She was in Orange County and then she moved up to Washington. So I distance Reiki, I knew that I needed to experience it to be able to explain, hey, yes, distance, it doesn't matter. You don't have to, but I have a in-person Reiki master here in Quincy, and he is my spiritual mentor here and has helped me, and I'm in touch with him weekly. I'm like his sister, you know, so it's one of those, it's beautiful that I have two, one distance and one in person, to make sure that I'm all clear, aligned, ready to go. Because even though I do Reiki on myself, which I am attuned to do now, I still need, healers need healing. They do.
Because I think for listeners, it's important they know that they can connect with you and you can work with them via distance.
Yes.
And heal their energy flow.
Yes, absolutely.
They can be aligned with the universe.
Yes. I do it during via FaceTime right now. And then I'm setting up a Zoom to where, but right now it's just FaceTime.
Excellent. So, and now you can combine the art therapy coaching and the Reiki together. So it's like a very interesting and unique way to help people heal.
Absolutely. And then I've been doing Reiki on my art pieces, which has, it's like setting the tone. I put crystals in some of my art, my resin. And so giving the crystals Reiki and setting a tone for a room, it's so much fun. It's so much fun being able to put that universal energy into something that you're working on. Love it.
So wait, because I've seen your art. and it's gorgeous. We're going to come back and talk about a big art donation you're going to do. We'll talk about that in a little bit later. But what I'm thinking right now is this gorgeous resin artwork you do, right? And you're doing Reiki on crystals and putting it into the artwork and setting the tone for someone's room in their house. So we can buy an art piece for like our living room to create an energetic frequency in that space. And that's something you're doing?
That is. And it's something I haven't really seen before. So I'm experimenting with it right now and trying to do something a lot different than I ever have. That's the great thing about art. You can do a lot of different things. So to be continued with that. I know you'll be into it.
Because I'm decorating. I'm decorating my upstairs for like a year. I'm so bad at it. And so, I need art. Anyways, I love that you help people. And that brings me to, I put this question up by my boy, my first original fan, Tendai. And it's good that you joined us today, sweetie. I'm glad that you could make it. So hi, I'm sending you love. But he said that helping other people is probably the best way to find inner peace and happiness. The ability to find joy and happiness from small things in life and not what society and social media tries to impose on us. And I want to say something about that, right? Because it is a beautiful, very true statement, but it also brings me to light work. And so we hear this term light worker, right? What is that, Teresa? Exactly. And how do light workers help people?
Well, this is a deep one you're going to.
I went deep right on in there.
Yes.
We're going to go to fun stuff after this, so stay tuned.
Okay. I believe a light worker is here to help humanity in their own unique way. A lot of them are conduits for spirit or conduits for energy and to, but not all. You don't have to be, but I feel like light workers are here to make the world a better place and make the universe a better place in bringing something unique and different, but in a healing, something to help the world, something to help humanity. And I say that you can't be a light worker without being a shadow worker, because I believe that you have to dive deep into your own shit. You have to heal your own, go through your own stuff, find out your own wounding. I feel like a lot of us have been through some pretty big things in life to be able to have the empathy to help others in their own journeys.
I have another question. I'm wondering, when you meet people, do you realize their energies right away? Do you understand their blockage, or it's something that you need to tune into yourself, or it's a process that you have to go through and then analyze that?
I can tell when somebody's energy is off or if I don't want to be around it. I do not dive deep into where their blockages are. I protect their own. That's their own space. I wouldn't just tap into somebody and be like, oh, I see your sacral chakras off. You know, I'm more of, if you want to connect with me and want me to tap in, but that's protection for my own energy too.
Yes.
I could take on a lot of stuff to where dry clearing is huge. Just clearing, cutting cords. You attach other people's cords attached to you every day. So clearing that and bringing your own energy back and releasing theirs nightly is a thing for me, because that's pretty, it can be pretty destructive to myself if I do not.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. Like, if you can feel everyone's energy and then blockages, how do you clean yourself from their energies? That's too much work on you. That's heavy work on you. If you don't protect yourself, you might get the depression because of other people's problem.
No? I won't tap it. Like, I can feel your energy and be like, oh, you know, do I want to be around you or not? You know, you can just that's empath, so you can feel people out pretty quick and intuition. But I won't tap in unless you're wanting me to. But that's a yes.
I mean, we feel the energy when we go into the room, when we connect with a new person. I think we all have that ability if you really tune in and allow yourself to feel it. And if you continue to keep your energy up, we know that you can enter a room and shift the energy of the entire room with your energy.
Absolutely.
And it can be good or bad. Energy is so infectious. And especially the crazy thing about it is negative energy is even more infectious. So what are you infecting people with when you meet them? Are you infecting them with negative energy or positive energy? Exactly. You know, it's such a powerful thing. I think time and energy are the most valuable things that we have in this life. And because I mean, people would argue money, but money is also energy. It's just an energy.
Exactly.
So I think if you can understand and master energy, you can master this life, because you can heal yourself. You can help others heal, and you can manifest anything pretty much you want. So that's
absolutely.
And the power of Reiki is just amazing. And the fact that you can do it at a distance, that I have a global audience. That means anyone who watches or listens to this episode can reach out to Teresa Jane on Instagram at Teresa Jane Art and go follow her and send her a message and request, you know, a discovery call and have a consultation with her, and then go from there, and you can begin your healing journey. So there you go. Our
thank
gift from
you.
Live from
thank
then
you. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
We're going to gift you to the global community.
Oh, I love it. That's the best. That's an energy exchange right there. That's an energy exchange.
So
I appreciate it.
If you want to do art therapy, if you want to do Reiki, if you want a piece of art with crystals in it, with it charged up with good energy for your home, there you go. Go follow Teresa Jane on Instagram. So Teresa, I want to talk about something a little bit juicier.
Okay. I'm in it.
I know you are. Because I mean, I started out the show and I said that you really helped me. Everyone who's been listening, you guys know that I haven't been dating for a really long time. I went through my divorce. I stayed single. And if you've been watching from the beginning, like Tendai, you know that I've been saying, I'm not ready to date. I'm not ready to date. Okay. I think I'm going to start dating soon. Okay. I might start. Okay. I started. And so that being said, before you're reemerging into the dating world as a newly single woman, whether it's been a long-term relationship, a marriage, or man, because it happens to you too, right? You have to get your energy right to get back out there, number one. So clearing your chakras might and aligning them might be helpful. But also, there's a part of ourselves that sometimes when we're going through the stress of a breakup that we can forget, or it can get put aside. Not to mention, even though everything in social media and advertising is all sex, 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 still sexuality can be somewhat stigmatized. I mean, I did an episode on Tantra the first year of this podcast, and Facebook put me in Facebook jail. Well, I think that had a little bit more to do with Brian Rose, but that was the reason that, you know, the episode was called Erotic Wisdom and Tantric Sex, right? And that was in the title of the episode, and we got a ban. Okay. So that's a key word, obviously. And so that just shows the stigma of it when you're trying to talk about healing and healthy and spiritual sexual connection and you get shadow banned. It's not even porn. Yeah. Actually, they said it was porn. It wasn't porn. Okay. So, let's talk about how you helped me really quickly. It's easy to get caught up in life and forget this part of yourself that needs to be expressed, this sensual, sexual god or goddess part of yourself. And through conversations with Teresa, she helped me to identify that that was the missing piece of my evolution and my healing journey. Right. And so I love her for that, because that's the fun stuff.
That's the fun stuff. Don't deny that aspect of you.
Right. So Teresa, how can we get in touch with that? How can we learn to embrace and remember the sensual, sexual part of ourselves and really have fun again with it?
First off, self-acceptance too. I feel like accepting yourself, who you are, what you are, and remembering who you are. We are sovereign beings, but that's part of us. That is part of your sensual, sexual side of you. That's a beautiful part of who you are. We are light, we are dark, but as women too, I feel like it is a lot of stigma still around it of, oh, you can't be a mom and still be sexy and express that part of you. The hell I can't.
I mean,
you know, that's part of who I am. I'm not going to be ashamed of who I am, my body. Okay, just like I was telling you, the woman who I was working with this past week was asking me different advice on how to be more receiving. And that is part of it, is accepting yourself as also a sexual being and a sensual woman. You are a woman. You are. Get down into that feminine. So I gave her some different hip roll movements, and which also helps align your chakra system too, and helps keep that in line, but different hip rolls clockwise, counterclockwise, the eye dancing, explore yourself while you're dancing. I put my hand on my heart a lot on my womb space, and breathing and meditation that helped me connect to my feminine. The more I was into my feminine, the more I was able to accept and receive and remember that it's okay to be a sensual and sexual being and not be ashamed of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Tilda?
I think it's very important to be sensual for yourself.
Yes.
I think one of the first things that I tell people about self-love is to feel sensual about themselves, to touch themselves, to feel like, whoa, I'm lovely. I'm enjoying, I don't know, just hugging myself, touching myself. I always say buy a very expensive cream and put the cream on you, because it's not visible for other people, but it's visible for you. It's you can sense it.
Yes.
Feel that you're worthy of this expensive, based on your budget, expensive cream on you, and just to feel your body naked and feel like, wow. You know, there's a lot of dirtiness in the society about sexiness and the sexuality, which I think is very wrong as well. We teach our young women, young girls in 14 and 15 to sexualize themselves, which is, I think, the social media is doing harm.
Correct. But
to understand their sensuality, to value who they are, to value their body as a sexual being. Yes. And not just to sleep around. We're not advertising for you to go sleep around. When you value who you are, you wouldn't even want the person next door or whoever wants to come and touch you. Like, hey, this is my body. This is so valuable that you don't, you're not allowed to touch it. You can watch it, but don't touch it. And even watching is not, you don't want everyone to watch it. It's very valuable. It's for someone that you want to be touched or watched. So
I love that. I'm gonna pop in here. I love that you're talking about using your five senses to yourself. Mm. That's huge. Like right now, I put perfume on today because that helps me feel more feminine, that even if I'm just home, I'm home by myself. I don't have my children this weekend. You know, I was wearing heels earlier just to get into more of a feminine mode. Hey, I will wear heels around the house for a little bit to get my sass back up.
I do that.
But and it's the same like dancing, you know, what are you going to do? But also, I went on I set a goal for myself to go on a 12-month celibacy journey that it was the most difficult thing I ever did in my life because I loved expressing myself sexually because I knew who I was, but I wanted to see exactly who I was and reclaim that power to myself without another person involved. Mm-hmm. That was an interesting journey. That was a difficult one, but I made sure to start. And I learned more about myself and it brings so much it brought me so much self-respect to it and remembered who I was. And I did that. That was one of the most incredible things I did for myself. Reclaiming that power to myself and being able to explore myself in a different way and learn more about myself.
You know, I found out, I mean, I read a lot of Jung. I'm a Jungian, not Freudian, Jungian, I guess. And one of the aspects about the sexuality was an interesting point that every human being, that they want to be sexually free, that you can be a healthy sexual person, you need to heal your relationship with the opposite partner, opposite parent, opposite sex parent. Like women, they have to deal with their problems with their fathers, or men, they have to deal with their problems with their mothers, because that really affects their sexual expression, their mm-hmm. sexual needs as a human being, as a healthy human being. A woman that has a lot of problem with their dad, they might expose themselves sexually in a wrong way, in a vulgar way, or they might close their sexual needs because they're against men, or they don't want to allow men to come into their life in a beautiful way, in a healthy masculine way. Or men that they have problem with their mothers, they are womanizers, they become womanizers, or sometimes they become gay because they're so against women in a way. That for me it was like fascinating to understand that. Do you see when you're dealing with your clients, do you see that issue with them?
I know that there's a couple that were very open to me about having sexual trauma and it was affecting different aspects of their life. And I was one of them who needed some sacral work done to release some of that stuff because I was even having trust issues. I was, you know, there's just a lot of different things that stay in your energetic body that you don't realize until you start doing the shadow work around it, that you're like, oh, I'm holding on to this from 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and it's still in my womb space. But helping recognize, oh, I'm feeling, just knowing if they're having a problem in their sacral chakra, which is their womb space, or if you're a woman, but around that area, it can hold a lot of sexual trauma that affects other areas in your life. So.
It's really interesting, all of that, especially what you were saying, Matilda, and being Jungian. I didn't realize that about you, but I'm quite fond of his theories. And I think that sexuality has been really tainted a lot through religion. We were talking about that, and really cause a lot of people to feel shame in being comfortable with their bodies and, you know, touching themselves in any ways. And I think it's important to destigmatize that for people. And like you said, it could be as simple as putting on a beautiful cream and rubbing it all over yourself and feeling beautiful. By the way, I love this body oil by Elemis. Goodness gracious, it makes me feel amazing. And I do love to put on perfume, and I love the smell of roses. So I put on a rose hand cream often. And it's just little things that you can do for yourself. And as far as people in relationships, right? A lot of times we get caught into the mundane of daily life, right? And it becomes habitual and routine. Yeah. And this to me is, I know everybody's so against the term woke, so I'm not going to use it. But so I'm going to say sleepwalking through life, right? People, to me, this is what being asleep means. You're such a routine of your life that you're on autopilot. You don't even have to be present because your body just, your subconscious mind is just running your life. And you're just doing these habits every day without even thinking of it. And there's very little true joy anymore. I mean, there's contentment and comfort, but there's very little real excitement and joy. Which is why I'm always advocating for shake up your life to your comfort level, right? If you don't have a lot of money, you know, maybe you can save up and go out to eat. You know what I mean? Or buy yourself something nice. Lord knows I did that, you know, started from the bottom. Now we're here, right? So we had to like do what we had to do at different phases of our life to continue to bring joy in. And little ways. At the beginning of the episode, Matilda and I were talking about traveling and eating at restaurants and eating at restaurants. I'm seeing the comments come in, and sometimes they distract me. And doing things to indulge and give yourself enjoyment, right? And I think this is part of sensual, joyful acts that we can do for ourselves, right? And then when you're in these relationships that you're in this habit of life, a lot of times the sensuality, maybe the sex doesn't leave the relationship, but the true pleasure and sensuality leaves the relationship. And so I wanted to ask you, Teresa, do you know some ways where we can keep sort of the spice alive in our relationships if we're still in them? Like if we're married or in long-term relationships for a long time, how can we as women and even men bring that sensual sexuality and passion, reignite our love lives, so to speak?
I believe everything comes back to self first. Yes, I love the aspect with your partner, but if you are not feeling that within yourself and get in where you're comfortable exploring different aspects of that relationship, whether it be different toys, adding different sexy outfit, you know what, but feel good in it, the confidence in that, and being open to talking about it with your partner, I feel like is huge, and that trust within that partnership. Mm-hmm. But add some, like, give yourself a goal, add something new every month. I've done that with somebody, and just we added something new each month. Let's try this. I think that's fun. Just have fun. Because if you're not having fun and you're not feeling yourself, every inch of you and your partner, what's the point? Come on. Like it's supposed to, that's the fun, beautiful aspect of a relationship. And I believe it is so important, especially if one of your love languages is physical touch. I mean, explore that, but explore it yourself too. And I believe that is that post-divorce, that was such a huge thing for me, exploring me without having a partner. And it brought me so much more self-love, self-pleasure, and knowing my body and myself better.
You know what they say? Sorry, Matilda, I just want to add this because it goes on with that. You know what they say is that if you explore yourself, especially as a woman, alone, it heightens your sexuality and your urge for sexual intimacy, yeah. We'll say. So it's actually, let's remove the stigma of that. and be comfortable with, you know, making yourself feel good and having fun by yourself, because it will enhance your relationship with your partner.
Right? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, actually, I was going to say too, like masturbation is very important. You know, lots of women, for men, I think it's very comfortable topic to talk about. Mm-hmm. And I think they indulge it often. And for them, it's a normal process. Mm-hmm. But for a woman, it's not, it's something taboo. I cannot tell how many friends, female friends I met. And for them, masturbation, when I tell, oh, I like to masturbate myself. I mean, I make myself I make my sexual pleasure the most. If I don't know how I make myself be pleased, who else can do that for me?
Absolutely.
You need to learn about your body so much so you can allow not anyone to come and touch you, first of all, because you need that.
No, thank you.
You do it yourself and you make, you have fun with yourself the most. And also, when you have the valuable partner that you think they are worthy to touch your body, then you can guide them and make them understand how to give you the most pleasure that you need. I mean,
That is the self-love that I'm talking about. We need that self-love. And it does. It brings a whole different energy to your body. If you have that, if you have that for yourself, and you know that you don't need a man, but it gives you a better a better basis for boundaries that you can stick to also. But that self-love and that self-respect by knowing yourself and your body, I believe that's incredibly, incredibly important.
Oh, absolutely. And I think for the fellas, I would say if you want to help the situation with a woman and make sure that she's in the mood, realize that the date starts well before the date for a woman. You know, she's already lathering herself up in creams and putting on perfume and high heels. Okay. Like, she's preparing for you. So be prepared for her. A woman also likes a man who smells good. That's just a side note. All right. You know, get the door for her, pay, like, do all these things that are gentlemanly, you know? I mean, I know some women get all weird if you want to pay and stuff, but like, know your date, obviously. Okay. Know who you're going out with. Right. But listen to her, because there's more than one way that a man can penetrate a woman. Okay.
I was just saying to a friend about 3 weeks to a month ago when we were talking about this, and I said the exact words, foreplay starts way before the bedroom. Mm-hmm. Like, if it, tell her husband, start taking out the trash, doing the dishes. And
Women
like
little things.
Big things.
So there was little a study that said that men who did big things and little things for their women, the woman valued them the same. So it's not to say don't do big things like grand gestures for your girl, like, you know, buying her that jewelry or whatever, those diamonds, right? But or flying her somewhere or taking her out to a very fancy dinner or whatever it is that you do. But she will value that and love it, and she'll make a big deal. But she will also make a big deal if you do something she asked you to do or didn't ask you to do as something that you're doing as a nice gesture for her, like taking out the trash or buying her flowers. You know, you could buy a woman a beautiful bouquet of flowers and you could buy her a diamond ring, and she will feel the same joy for both of those things. Okay, if you bring her both, well, you're gonna hit it out of the park. But my point was, like, if you want to warm the woman up, listen to her at dinner. You know, before the foreplay, is listening.
Okay? Absolutely.
So penetrate her emotional and internal world by listening to her, without trying to fix anything. So if she's got drama at work or whatever's going on, just listen and say, do you want me to just listen or do you want some advice? And if she's like, no, I just want you to listen, then just listen and don't try to fix anything for her. Because sometimes girls just want to vent. And if we're very into our relationship and we're not having a lot of girlfriends outside of the relationship, especially, then that's going to fall on you. And we don't always want you to fix the problem. We just want to get it off of our chest. And that's really sexy, by the way. Yeah. I love a man who listens to me and who asks me questions and who is interested in my inner world. Okay. So if you want a woman to drop the panties, right? Like, recognize that you should smell good. I'm kidding.
Smell good. Okay.
I'm not, though, but seriously, you should listen to her and penetrate her inner world and also do little things for her and, you know, make the evening special in that way. You know what I mean? It's those nice little touches that make a woman open up like a beautiful flower for you. And then she'll continue to open more and more and more. And not, she won't just open her heart. She'll open her legs. Okay. So that's Kia's advice to help you out, gentlemen. I know there's a lot of guys who listen and watch this program. So that's my help for you. And for women as well. So, because now we have more women watching as also, which I love. So thank you for that, Teresa.
Yes.
I think it's such an important topic. It goes hand in hand with being receptive. And because women need to also be able to receive those things that I advise men to do, like little gifts, and be appreciative. Because what man wants to continue to do things for a woman who never appreciates anything he does for her? So at least acknowledge when he's doing good things, you know, and tell him how much you appreciate it and thank him for it. You know what I mean? And because sometimes you just have to think of a guy that you're with like a little boy with a crush. And they are sensitive and they have emotions too. And they're constantly being told to shove those emotions down and not acknowledge them in order to be a man, which we all know is not true, because real men acknowledge and feel their emotions. They should be anyway, and they should be not stigmatized about it. And so I think that that's really important as women, that we also recognize the power that we have in a man's world and in their life, and to appreciate and respect them and give them the love that also they are looking for. Now, not every, there's the players and there's, you know, the player girls and the player guys. So use your discernment, obviously. But we're talking about if you have a nice person in your life and you're thinking of a future with them, or you've been with them for a long time, these things can help you to have a better experience, which is Hot Topics Live is all about. What do you think, Matilda?
I think what you're saying is amazing. And I wanted to add, if anyone wants to go deep in these energies of feminine energies and masculine energies of Jungian, the anima and animus is what he describes as these energy different energies that we have in us. And as a woman, we have more feminine energy in us as a healthy woman, and as a man, you have more of a masculine energy in you. But sometimes if we don't take care of our issues with our parents, these energy level are not going to be in the right place in us. And that's why sometimes we see a woman that is very dressed like a feminine, has all is very beautiful and have high heels sometimes even, but then inside has a very masculine energy. So to balance that, we need to take care of our emotional side of our past traumas with our parents most of the time. Then sometimes you see a woman that maybe doesn't dress very feminine, but has this feminine energy that lots of men are drowning to. And it's beautiful to see that. I love when women have that gentleness. It's very mesmerizing. And when you see a successful woman in history, like Cleopatra, like Josephine Bonaparte, they have this feminine energy, very strong feminine energy that men were dying for. They've done everything for them. And it wasn't their beauty. It wasn't their sexy look. It was that energy, and it's very, you can keep a man with that energy. So this is what I have to work on, my feminine energy, and how to make it more shine, because then I can have Sasha in my hand and I can
Sasha, oh, Sasha, you're in trouble.
But I need to be the most feminine I can be for him. Otherwise, a man doesn't want to be with another man with, okay, a doll.
Those polarities, yes. those energies, like magnets repelling each other, the masculine, if you have your masculine shield up and you have a masculine trying in his masculine energy, yeah, you will, it's pushing each other away. It's the polarity of that. Thank you for explaining that. I love that. I love exploring the masculine and feminine energies.
That's why, Teresa, I think your work is very important, because right now with the society, we kill this feminine energy inside us to become more successful at work, to raise children as a single parent.
Yes.
And it's really not benefiting us as women. And it's not benefiting men, because we're killing their masculine energy by us showing up as a masculine. So your work is very important, because once we have healthy feminine mm-hmm. energy in the world, we will have healthy human beings. The society will be balanced. That's my
Absolutely. I completely agree with you, Matilda. Thank you.
I think a balanced society is a happy, healthy society. And that's what my purpose is to help people to be happier, you know, and to recognize how amazing and valuable and worthy they are of living their best life. This is why I remind you every time I come live on Hot Topics Live, you know, because it's important that we connect to our this energy of being masculine and feminine and balancing each other out, you know, because we're happier that way. And what is life for if not to be filled with joy and happiness, you know? So
I want to say something. It's when you're talking about parents, Matilda, I loved, my mother always told me and my sister, make sure you don't need a man. You don't need a man. You don't need a man. But she always was so very feminine and beautiful, and it's still so receptive with my stepdad. And my stepdad's such a manly man, you know. And she was still that feminine, receptive mode, but she had the confidence of that strong woman, that strong personality, that strong energy, that it's okay to want a man, but you don't need him. And mm-hmm. she instilled it in my sister and I, and it has helped, especially going through, you know, later life. I'm glad that she explained that when I was small, you know, but it's all life. It's a big joke in our family. So if we're ever needing to hammer something out, oh, you don't need a man, just do it yourself. You know, but she was always still so feminine and wore beautiful makeup, beautiful redhead, strong woman. So having those strong women in your life, but that were still very feminine. It's mm-hmm. I was lucky.
I think the strength of a woman is in her femininity, because what a man cannot have, and that's what they are craving. Your mm-hmm. feminine energy. It's not your sorry for my words, boobs or your other private body parts, is that energy that gravitates towards you. And when you have everything out, but you don't have that energy, it's a turn off. It's a one night stand. I'm not saying one night stand is bad, but it depends on what you stand or what kind of energy you want to have in your life. But
put out there.
It's wrong. Mm-hmm. And I don't like one night stand. But maybe it's good for some people. I don't know. But it's not about those elements to be out. It's about your femininity to come out. And you kill any man. I mean, lots of women killed a lot of men with that.
It's true. It's true. But I won't. I will say that I want to just say something a little bit different, and then we are at 1 hour and 19 minutes, so we will wrap it up soon, I promise. But we're having so much fun today. I wanted to say this. My mom always also raised me that you don't need a man, don't rely on a man, all of these things. And I actually think it was a little bit of a disservice to me in a way, because yes, I am a very strong, also grew up in the 90s when we were all like girl power, woman of the 90s, we can be the CEO and we can fry up dinner. You know what I mean? Yes. Like this is the world I grew up in, right? And so it made me very masculine energy, and it's taken me a really long time. I'm still a work in progress, honestly, sitting and relaxing in my feminine energy. But I think that something that really clicked for me is that it's not about not needing. I do need a man, but not in the way you think. I do need that masculine energy. I do like it when a man opens the door for me. I absolutely like it when he listens to me and enters my internal world. I do like very many aspects about having a masculine energy present in my life. And I feel like I need that because it really helps me to be more feminine and to sit in my feminine energy. So, I think it's a little bit of a disservice to feel like you should stand on your own 2 feet. Yes, if you are a single mom or single woman, you can handle your life and your business and do all these things. But I think it's very nice not to have to. I love being married, and I will get married again. You know, I'm the marrying kind.
I will be tell Sasha, I'm like a closed flower. If you want me to blossom and make your life beautiful, you need to pamper me. You need to pamper me physically, emotionally, mentally. Otherwise, this flower will be closed and it's not good for any of us. You want me to blossom? Then pamper. I will make your life beautiful and make your life enjoyable.
I love that. That's so true.
I do too.
That's
what women I love do. That.
Actually, that mm-hmm. is like for all women. That is like the logic. Okay, we should just all go and tell the men in our lives, pamper me. I will blossom like a beautiful flower and fill your world with beauty and magic. Mm-hmm. And that's what will happen.
Having that grounded masculinity, though, you having somebody who is a sacred masculine or somebody who can hold that cup for you, you know, so you can flourish. It's important, because if you're in that shift that we have men in their wounded masculine, it's not going to create that safe space for you to open up and for you to flourish. So,
and more likely they're going to feel like pamper me.
Absolutely. Yes. We don't need to mother you, you know, like it's a whole different thing, you know. So I have to have that grounded masculinity in there.
I think it ultimately we end up pampering each other in a healthy way in different ways. So when we are filling your life with beauty and magic because we're blossomed, that is our way of pampering you. But when you have to pamper us in the way that we receive it and need to have it. And that's, you know, for Matilda and I, it's nice dinners and going out and champagne. So, you know what I mean? Yes. What is it for you, Teresa? What is your thing that you like to do and look forward to?
I go to Carter's Coffee Bar here, and it's a, and they have Lotus drinks and amazing coffee. And that is the thing that I do for myself multiple times weekly. I do. It is important to me. It gives, and it's my alone time. I go for drives. That's something big for me, like just some alone time. But of course, baths too. And
I love a bath.
Love a good bath. Love a good salt bath. Plus, get that salt and get all that yucky energy off of me too. It's like empaths live in that salt water. You know, it's so clearing, so amazing. I need that. I have to have it.
I feel that. I love a good bath. That's an inexpensive way to and something to look forward to that's inexpensive and enjoyable. A good salt bath or a salt scrub in the shower. I like a long hot shower too. Just makes me so happy. And I just feel so much better. But sometimes if you're empathic, water grounds you. So for me, being near the ocean or going into water in a salt bath really helps me to feel very balanced. And if I'm feeling anything yucky energy that has been attached to me, it just washes right off, or it just floats out with the tide if I'm on the coast, which I love. And so those are amazing tips, Teresa.
That salt is big, even like you said, the scrubs, and that clears your energy too. Put intention. Everything is intention. Everything we do, intention is the majority, the main thing to acknowledge. What is my intention behind that? And so if you're intending, I'm setting the intention that this salt scrub is going to wash off the day and all the yucky energies and shitty people who I was around today, and it's going to go in the drain and wash down and be away, then it's done. Thank you. It's done. And wash down the drain and clear your energy, and you're a new woman or man.
I love that. Thank you so much, Teresa.
Thank you.
It has been such a pleasure to have you on Hot Topics Live today. I want to thank you so much for being a guest. And all this talk about salt water reminds me of how we met through our girl, Missy. If you are on Instagram, go follow her, XI_Missy_XI. You know, if you've been listening or watching this, that I'm obsessed with tarot, and she's an amazing reader. And and we go to these chats that she has, and that is how we connected. And so I wanted to give a shout out to Missy on this episode as well, because we love her so much.
We do.
But I do want to say thank you so much. I have one more question that I held till the end. It's a little bit deep. This is from Sasha. But it's the last one. And while I'm pulling that up, do you have anything you want to add, Matilda?
Well, I'm just looking forward to see what kind of a question he's asking.
So let's see here what we have. Oh, George. This is from George. Thanks for tuning in, George. I know I can always count on you to be present and accounted for. Okay, so let me find the question, because there's been a lot of comments since then. And okay, here we go. Ready? The last one is from our love, Sasha. He says, you think people can change the world, or there's a part of determinism? Okay, so I'm going to start. And then you guys, I do think so. I don't think it's determinism, Sasha. I do think people make an impact. You made an impact on me when I met you in LA and had a glorious dinner with you in a perfect environment. And when I found out that our book was the favorite book, the same, that impacted me in a way, because you know what? It made me feel smarter. You're so smart. No, but really, it really did. It impacted me. And I thought, how beautiful is that? How beautiful that this man was in Paris and living a life in another reality that I never knew existed. And by a simple twist of fate, or a few things that happened in my life that led me to meet Matilda, that led you to meet Matilda, all of these little things that impacted our lives changed the world we live in, because now we know each other. And it made my world better and brighter for being connected with the two of you. Now I'm going to Armenia. Who the fuck knew that was ever going to happen in my life? Yeah. All right, but I'm going. And I love weddings, so try to keep me from it. And, that trip, let me tell you what. But I do. So that's my answer. I do think people can change the world. It may not always be in big ways, but those little ways do add up. What do you think, Matilda?
Of course, people can affect you in a very good way. My grandma affected me. Impacted me. I see the world in a different way because of her. And this is a small contribution. imagine if you do bigger things for a bigger society and community. So of course, I think your everything is connected. Why you meet someone, even a stranger can help you with a comment, or sometimes reading a book, accidentally you start reading a book, or listening to a podcast can change your life.
Great. I agree. Teresa, how about you?
I absolutely think that people can change the world. Little, like we were saying, little things. You don't know who you impact. You do not know. You have no idea. It could be holding a door open. It could be smiling at a stranger whose parent just died and you had no idea, to where they're like, you know, it could be somebody wanting to take their life, and just a single message that you just think, oh, I'm going to text this person. Absolutely. I absolutely believe that a single person can make a difference in this world. And we all make ripples and waves, almost like a butterfly effect, and almost like that ripple effect. You affect one person, it affects another, it affects another, it affects another. So yeah, you give somebody a different perspective on life, or if you give somebody education that resonates with them, that, oh, now they switch careers. You know, like it's something small that you could say to somebody. Just say, it doesn't even have to be doing. Saying something to somebody or giving them a small piece of advice, of life advice that helped you and helped you get through a hard time, a dark time. If you give that to somebody else, what if you saved a life? That affects, the little things affects. They add up. They add up. I believe in ripples and waves. I absolutely believe that we can change the world.
And look, on a bigger level, look at Elon Musk. He just bought Twitter. That's going to change the world. Right?
Yeah.
Whether it's good or bad, that's going to change the world as we know it. So
yes.
If you're on Twitter, or give a shit. But my point is, yes. So I think we answered that question. And with that, it's going to be a wrap. I am going to put you in the green room, Teresa, if you have time.
Thank you.
For goodbye. We'll wrap the show and then we will come and say our goodbyes. If not, I totally understand. Thank you for sharing an hour and a half of your life with us and sharing all your wisdom and knowledge. I have loved this time with you.
Thank you. I appreciate both of you so much. I had so much fun.
See you soon, sweetie.
Okay. Bye.
Well, what do you think, Matilda?
Oh, I think we need more of Teresa in the world. us women, we need more Teresa to have it in our circles, because to be a woman nowadays is very difficult. Actually, to be a man nowadays is very difficult, because we make their jobs more difficult now. So it's important to have healthy feminines in the world. We need healthy and feminine energy in the world. All these wars, all these dirtiness and ugliness is not helping any humans right now. So yeah, we need her. We need her work. We need more women to be open about her work and to know about her type of work, because our sensuality is important. Our way of looking at life is important. Training men how to treat us is important. So all of that.
And learning how to treat men so that they can flourish too, right? It's so
they can
important.
Be the king of our life, and they can do great things in our life as well. So yeah, it's all hand in hand. And I strongly believe without healthy feminine, we cannot have healthy masculine. And all this, maybe feminism, which I think was very important move, but maybe we need a feminism 02 or 04. I don't know. We need a different type.
Yeah.
It might help us better. So let him open the door. Let him take you to nice places, to nice dinners. You deserve it. And let him pamper you. Mm-hmm. It's his job to pamper.
I love that advice. That was the best advice I heard in a while. with that, we're going to wrap it up. Matilda, I cannot add anything to that, because I think you nailed it. I'm raising sons. we as the feminine have all the power. Mm. We raise them, mm-hmm. you know, we date them, we bear their children. You know, we have to, you know, recognize how to raise healthy men and how to treat good men and, you know, hope for healing for the ones that are still in their wounded masculine energy and hope that they decide that they want to heal that. We're all on a journey. We're all trying to heal. So, you're amazing. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. I love you guys. I will be back next week with another great guest, and I'll see you then. Same time, same day. Love you. Bye.
Bye.